verse of Scripture I want to preach upon this evening is verse 9 of Matthew chapter 9, where we read, Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. My message could be entitled, The Conversion of Matthew, or as it is in the verse, A Man Named Matthew. This verse records the conversion and the calling of Matthew, also known as Levi. Matthew would become one of the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a sense, verse 9 is Matthew's own testimony, for he is the writer of this gospel. And therefore, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he is giving the account of how he came to become a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus. Matthew not only records this incident, but Mark and Luke also record it in Mark chapter 2, verses 14 to 22, and Luke in his Gospel chapter 5, verse 27 to 38. It is interesting to note that as you compare the accounts of his conversion, that only Matthew uses the name Matthew. Only Matthew calls himself Matthew. The other writers, the other gospel writers, Mark and Luke, they use his name Levi, by which he was also known. I say that it's interesting that Matthew uses the name Matthew because that name means a gift or a gift of God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ calls you, when he speaks to you, when he draws you to himself to become a follower of him, you receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. You receive his gift of salvation. It was the Apostle Paul who said, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this verse recalls for us from Matthew's own experience the day, the time when Matthew received the gift of God, when he became a Christian. He became spiritually alive. He received eternal life and he began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his account. That time when he received God's gift. I wonder, in passing tonight, can I challenge you? Have you received the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, which is indeed eternal life? Now, there are four things that I want to set before you this evening about Matthew's conversion. I want you, firstly, to notice the providence of God in his conversion. Look at verse 9 and let's pay particular attention to it. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, the Lord Jesus was passing from place to place. He was going from one place to the other. And Matthew, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, writing by inspiration, he's drawing our attention to the fact that the Lord Jesus was passing from thence, from one place. Where was he going from? just out of interest. Where was the Lord passing from? This is His itinerant ministry that we talk about. When He began to preach and to heal and to teach, He went from place to place, and He started in the north because that's where He was brought up. Where was he passing from? Mark's Gospel chapter 2 tells us and identifies the place as Capernaum, because He tells us, again, He, the Lord Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. And as you read on in Mark's Gospel, you discover that this is the chapter, verse 14, that records Matthew's conversion. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus. So Mark, that's Matthew. We've said his name was also Levi. And so Mark identifies it as Capernaum. And he's passing from thence. Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 1 tells us that it was His, the Lord Jesus, His own city. He entered into a ship and passed over and came into His own city. Now some have assumed that is Nazareth, and some have said, well, you have a contradiction there. Mark says it's Capernaum, Matthew says it's His own city. Was that not Nazareth? But Matthew tells us in chapter 4 and verse 13, and I'm not turning back to it, but you can check it out. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 13, he tells us that when the Lord began His ministry, He left Nazareth to dwell in Capernaum. So in that sense, at this time, Capernaum was His own city, and He's been there, He's ministered there, and it tells us that as He passed forth from thence, He's leaving Capernaum, and He's passing from it, and He just happens to pass by the place that is the receipt of custom. That's the tax office. That's where the taxes were collected. And in every town or in every city, the Romans established a place where the Jews paid their taxes. They rendered unto Caesar. And often they employed Jews themselves to be the tax collectors, and Matthew was one of them. And what we're saying is this, that the Lord was passing from Capernaum, He was going from thence, and He just happened to pass by the receipt of custom, the tax office, as we would know it or term it in our day, the place where your taxes were paid. And it just happens that as the Lord is passing, and as He is passing the receipt of custom, it just happens that Matthew's the tax collector on duty at that point of the day, and he passes by Matthew and he calls him to be a follower of himself. If we were speaking in human terms, we would say, isn't there a lot of chance happenings there? Just by chance, the Lord was leaving Capernaum. Just by chance, He took the route past the tax office, the receipt of custom. Just by chance, Matthew was sitting there, and the Lord set eyes upon him, and He called him. And humanly speaking, it seems to be that it's just by chance. My friends, there's no such thing as chance with God. Particularly when it comes to hearing the gospel. In John chapter 4, we read that Jesus must needs go through Samaria, and He must needs go through Samaria to stop at Jacob's well and meet a woman from Sychar that He was going to save from her sin, the sin of adultery and fornication. He needed to go through that place to meet that woman. And it's the same with Matthew. He passed by Capernaum at the particular time, the particular place, the particular event, because he was going to meet Matthew and give him the gift of God that was eternal life. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he said this, speaking of the Lord, Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He works all things, not some things, not the good things, not the big things. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And it was the will of the Lord that He should be in Capernaum. It was the will of the Lord that He should be leaving Capernaum. It was the will of the Lord that He should pass the receipt of custom. It was the will of the Lord that Matthew should be there. It was the will of the Lord that He should call Matthew to be His disciple. The Lord meant to pass that way. Matthew was meant to be at the receipt of custom. He was meant to hear the call of God to salvation. And so it is with everyone that hears the call of God to come unto Christ. You don't hear the gospel by chance. The Lord has various things set in place, ordered. Events so ordered in your life that you will hear the gospel. Maybe it was that you were born into a Christian family where your parents instructed you in the gospel message. Maybe it was the fact that you were brought along or sent along to a church that was faithful to the preaching of the gospel and the message of the gospel. Maybe it was the fact that you attended school with a Christian friend, or you entered into a place of work where there was a Christian person who witnessed and testified to you. Maybe it was that you attended a gospel mission and there you heard the message or received a gospel tract or message from some individual. I'm saying to you that it's not by chance. God is merciful. And in God's merciful providence, He has and He is giving you opportunities to hear the call of the gospel, to repent of your sin, to believe in Christ, the crucified Redeemer. And the question is, what will you do with those God-given opportunities, those strange providences that have brought you face to face with the gospel message? How will you respond? My friends, remember this. There's no chance happenings with God. He has so ordered the events in your life that you have been confronted with the person and the work of the Lord Jesus and heard the call and invitation of the gospel. You could have been born in the darkest jungle in Africa, but you were born in a Christian home. You could have been born into a home where you were never sent to hear the gospel message, but you were sent along to a church that preached the gospel. God has ordered the events of your life that in His providence you've heard the gospel call. And I'm asking you, how will you respond? Second thing I want you to notice from Matthew's conversion is not only the providence of God, but I want you to notice the perception of Christ. Little phrase here, it says, and as Jesus passed from thence, he saw a man named Matthew. Isn't that lovely? The incident that precedes Matthew's conversion tells us that there were multitudes who were thronging round the Lord Jesus. Because the man who was brought to the Lord on the bed, he was sick of the palsy. His four friends carried him on his bed to where Jesus was. They couldn't even get him into the house where the Lord was. People at the windows, at the door, they were in the house. And the crowds had flocked around him. And as he's leaving, I've no doubt, there were crowds around him. And out of all of that crowd, the Lord's eyes fix on one man. a man named Matthew. The Lord perceived him. The Lord saw him. The Lord fixed his eyes upon Matthew. And the Lord spoke to Matthew. He picked him out of that crowd. It wasn't that Matthew saw the Lord. It wasn't that Matthew called unto the Lord. The Lord saw Matthew. The Lord spoke to Matthew. The Lord called Matthew. And Matthew followed the Lord. And it reminds us that salvation reminds us and teaches us that conversion begins with God. Psalm number 10 and verse 4 tells us, the wicked will not seek after God. Man in his sin, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, left to his own devices, he will not seek after God. Man will not make the first move to God in salvation. It just doesn't happen theologically or practically. The wicked will not seek after God. That was borne out in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, they knew they were naked. They were ashamed. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God calling them in the garden, it was God who called Adam. Adam didn't run to find God. Adam didn't call out unto the Lord. Adam feared the Lord, and he fled from the Lord, and he was found of the Lord in the bushes in the Garden of Eden. Know the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day, said, Adam, where art thou? His salvation and rescue from sin started with the Lord seeking him. And that's how the experience of salvation commences. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I wonder, has God been looking down and he's been speaking to someone individually during this time? And he's been speaking to your hearts. The Lord has fixed his gaze and his attention upon you. And he's now calling you to himself. The question goes out again. Sinner, what will you do? We see furthermore, the fact that Jesus saw and spoke to Matthew shows that Jesus has an interest in sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And let me say, Matthew was a sinner. He was a tax collector, a publican, and the publicans were associated with sinners. In verse 11, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? The publicans, the tax collectors, they were grouped in with the sinners. They associated with the sinners because they were sinners themselves, and they were known to be sinful. John the Baptist had something to say about the publicans, the tax collectors, and he gives us a little insight into their character and their life. He was preaching by the River Jordan. Many people were getting saved and turning to the Lord. And among them were the tax collectors or the publicans. And in Luke chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, it says, then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto Master, what shall we do? They wanted to be right with God. They were convicted by John's preaching. John was a preacher who stirred the souls of men that they were convicted about their sin. And these publicans, they wanted to get right with God and they wanted to be baptized. And they're saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. They were covetous men. They were greedy men. They were deceitful men. Because rather than take off the people the amount of tax that was rightfully to go to the authorities, they give them a higher figure. They give the common people a higher total. They made them pay more. And they give to the Romans what they were due. They got paid for their work, but they kept the extra to themselves. They were moved and motivated by greed. They were deceitful. They were liars. They were greedy, covetous men. And I have no doubt Matthew was numbered among that group. And Matthew would have been just like them. Just like them. But the Lord looks upon him. He's a sinner. He's numbered among the publicans, men that were greedy, liars, covetous, deceitful, cheaters. Yet the Lord looked upon him. Out of all the crowd, out of all the vast multitude that were around him, he set his eyes on Matthew. He had an interest in Matthew. He had a message for Matthew, even though he was a sinner. My friend, Jesus is interested in sinners. He's the friend of sinners. And maybe your sin's the same as Matthew's. You're a cheater. You're a liar. You're a deceiver. You're a fraudster. Maybe it's some other sin. You're an adulterer. You're a thief. You're a blasphemer. The Lord is interested in you. He's the friend of sinners in the sense that He's willing to save you. He's willing to transform you. He's willing to change you. He's willing to deliver you from your sin. And He looked upon Matthew. My friend, He's interested in you. And He's a message for you. Just as He had for Matthew. That brings me to my third point tonight. We've considered the providence of God in Matthew's conversion. The Lord had the events ordered. No chance. The Lord had the events ordered in His providence that Matthew would hear the call of the Lord. We've noticed the perception of Christ, the pity of Christ. He looked upon him, even though he was a sinner, the Lord had time for him. And the Lord looked upon him and fixed his eyes upon him. But now we hear the precept for Matthew. Here's the Lord's message. Look at verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He saith unto him, follow me. That's the Lord's message to Matthew all those years ago. That's the Lord's message to men and women, young people, boys and girls today. Because that's the summary of the gospel call and the gospel command. Follow me. And that's the word the Lord has for every sinner. If you want to be right with God, you want to be reconciled to God, you want to be redeemed by the Lord, follow Christ. This term sums up the gospel command because this term, this precept involved repentance. To follow Christ, Matthew had to leave the receipt of custom and all that it symbolized for him. What did it symbolize? It symbolized greed. It symbolized covetousness. It symbolized corruption and deceit. It symbolized a love for riches and this world's goods. That was Matthew's God. You had to leave it and come and follow the Lord. And that's repentance. Repentance is a recognition of sin. Repentance involves sorrowfully turning from sin and turning on to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, the sinful life, the sinful ways, the sinful deeds, the sinful actions, the sinful notions. To become a Christian, to be right with God, they've got to be abandoned by repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus came preaching repentance toward God, a turning from sin and a turning on to God. And if you're going to follow Christ, then you have to repent of your sin and from your sin. But following the Lord involves faith. It involves accepting, for Matthew, it involved him accepting Jesus was the Messiah, the promised Redeemer who would come into the world to give his life and die for sinners, to save them and reconcile them unto God. He had to believe that, and then he had to begin to follow him and trust him, associate with him, and publicly identify with him. That's faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Taking Christ for who he says he is, the Messiah promised from the fall. Taking Christ as your Savior, that what he did on the cross was done to remove your sin. Taking Christ and publicly identifying and professing Him to be your Savior. That's faith, not saving faith. That's involved in following the Lord. It involves following the Lord. It sums up the gospel call to sinners because it involves repentance, it involves faith, and it shows us that salvation is a real event, a real experience, and it happens at a particular moment in time in a person's experience in life. It is not a process. Matthew was converted the moment he began to follow Christ. He didn't have to begin to follow Christ and then go to the temple or the synagogue and do this reading in the Word and have this particular cleansing and begin to do this good deed and that good deed, that by some process eventually he would be termed a Christian or a child of God, a follower of the Lord. No, he passed from death unto life. He became a child of God, a follower of Christ, a believer. The very moment he forsook the receipt of custom and began to follow Jesus. Salvation is an instantaneous experience. It happens in a moment of time. And it leads on to a life of ministry and service for the Lord. But our salvation, we are saved, we are justified in a moment of time. And that moment for you is the same as it was for Matthew. The moment in your mind and in your heart and your soul, you turn away from sin and follow the Lord. The little children's chorus says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Are you a Christian? Are you on the way to heaven when this short, uncertain, and at times troublesome life is over, and over forever. Final point I want to make this evening is that there is a postscript for believers. The providence of God, the perception of Christ, the precept for Matthew, the postscript for believers. The postscript is what comes after. It's at the end, the afterward. And in verse 10, you'll notice the postscript for believers. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. Now, let me just say, if you compare verse 10 with Luke 5 and 29, you discover that it was Matthew's house. He's too humble to say it was his house. He just says that Jesus came and sat at a meal in a house and certain events took place. But Luke identifies the house as Matthew's. When Matthew got saved, he brought the Savior into his home. And if you're a Christian, the Savior should be not only welcomed in your home, but your home should be a place where the Savior resides, His law is observed, and is lived out. Are our homes little sanctuaries for the Savior, where His presence is evident, His law is observed? He brought the Savior into His home. And there he ministered unto the Lord. Verse 10 tells us Jesus sat at meat. He performed a service for the Lord. He provided a meal for the Lord. And when we're saved and begin to follow Christ, we are to seek to do a service for the Savior. We're not saved to be stuck in our own ways, stuck in our own lives, taken up with self. We're saved to serve the Lord. And how you serve Him, you can ask the Lord, and it might be in one area of ministry or another area of ministry. There are multitudes of ways in which a Christian can serve the Lord. And there are many ways, and not every Christian will serve the Lord in the same capacity or the same way. But I tell you, when you're saved, you'll want to serve Him in some way. And serve Him you should, and serve Him you must. As Matthew was converted, he brought the Savior into his home. And he ministered unto the Lord. And it was for this purpose, that he might give witness to others. Verse 11 and 12, the Pharisees were there. And they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And there were publicans and sinners there. Matthew had invited them to come to the meal where Jesus was. But the Pharisees are criticizing. Why is your master associating with a bunch of sinners and publicans? And the Lord gives the answer. The Lord heard it. For the Lord hears everything we say. The Lord said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. It's the sick man that needs the doctor. That's what Jesus is saying. You don't take a man that isn't sick to see the doctor. You take a man that is sick. And Jesus, as the great spiritual physician, he came to heal those that are sick with sin. And therefore he would mingle with them. He would mix with them. He would preach the gospel to them. And Matthew had that feast to bring sinners to a place where they would hear the Lord Jesus Christ and they would mingle and they would mix with Him and hear Him. He had a burden to take the gospel to others. That's one of the marks of a Christian. They want others to hear the message of the gospel, that they might be converted. May the Lord bless the message tonight to our hearts. If you're not a convert, may you have Matthew's experience. And if you're saved, may you serve the Lord, even as Matthew served Him once he was converted.